Well, we are going to study about the sixth commandment today. Sixth commandment says, thou shalt not kill. If we just look at the commandment lightly and casually, we may say, oh wow, you know, that's easy to keep the commandment. We are not going to kill anybody, even though sometimes once in a while in our hearts, we wish to kill somebody. No, I hope that that is not the case. Well, the sixth commandment says, thou shalt not kill. It is a serious command. It is serious in its nature because it talks about life and death issue. However, there is another reason that it is a very serious commandment to all of us who are living in the 21st century, year 2011. It is because we may find lots of ramifications, implications, and applications from this particular commandment. Even though commandment is very short, it does have a lot of implications and applications. For example, when we are talking about killing someone or taking somebody's life away, we can think of lots of issues related to life or death. For example, if someone has killed, we may have to consider whether it was an accidental killing or it was a premeditated killing, because there are differences. Even the Bible does recognize the differences between those accidental killing and premeditated killing. If a person decides to take his life away and commits a suicide, how is it related to the sixth commandment? And eventually we are going to deal with this issue as well. If a person argues that he wants to terminate his own life because he has so much pain in his body because of illnesses, by getting help from another people or other people or physicians, so-called assisted suicide or physicians-assisted suicide, does it have anything to do with the commandment? Or if someone argues that we must offer people in terminally ill condition some ways to have planned deaths, such as euthanasia, does it have anything to do with the sacred commandment? Or embryonic stem cell research, embryos are being destroyed, does it have anything to do with the sixth commandment? In such case, how does the sixth commandment speak to us about? If any killing is against God's commandment, then what happens during the wars or someone is broken into our homes and intends to kill our loved ones, and we feel that we are obligated to defend our loved ones, as a result we are getting involved in struggles with those attackers and invaders and so on, and as a result someone was killed. And what does the sixth commandment talk about such a case? If a thief loses his life because of our defensive responses, are we breaking the sixth commandment? And there are a lot of questions that we have to raise up. I'm thinking about a series of messages to deal with those related and relevant issues that probably once in a while we need to understand and we are interested in. Today, my first topic is about abortion. Quite interestingly, while I was studying and thinking about this particular issue, abortion, I noticed that whatever the arguments that have been used in favor of abortion rights, those exactly the same arguments can be used for other issues such as assisted suicide and euthanasia and so on. So in other words, abortion is almost like opening door. Once after we open it, we cannot stop other practices. So it is no wonder that abortion is legalized in this country, in so many countries and so on, and then now people are seriously talking about euthanasia and assisted suicide, physician-assisted suicide, etc. And it is a natural course of actions. Once after we open the door of abortion, we cannot stop others. So eventually you will see more and more debates about all these relevant issues, euthanasia and assisted suicide. So it is a really challenging and very much thought-provoking and upsetting issue, in fact, if we have to study about abortion. Before I'm going into the topic, I need to ask for your kind understanding first. I know that I need to expound the word in order to discuss and explain the issues based on the scriptures. My duty is to preach the gospel. My duty is to preach the word from the scriptures. However, in order to help you to be able to understand the issue, just in case if you do not have any clear ideas why we need to talk about this kind of topic, I'll have to bring forth some preliminary talks which are not necessarily from the Bible itself, but from the research papers, newspaper articles, and statistical data, and so on. So without which, we may not have clear ideas about the necessity of this particular topic and the scope of this subject. Therefore, please forgive me, though I may have to be drifted away from the scripture passages today. If I will not be able to bring up the scripture exegesis today, I will do it next week as the sequel to this message. So there will be a second part of this message next Sunday evening. All right, so I hope that you understand that part. Is abortion issue a relevant issue to us today? Yes, surely it is. There were 189,574 abortions carried in year 2010 in England and Wales alone. So, approximate figure is 190,000 babies were aborted. I hope that none of us considers that number only as a number. We are talking about 189,574 babies or lives aborted or destroyed artificially. Human intervention was made in order to stop them or terminate them or kill them or destroy them. As of the 5th of July, year 2011, this year, 5th of July, as of the 5th of July this year, 377 British soldiers have lost their lives in Afghanistan since the beginning of the war. I want to show you the magnitude of the number of the aborted children. The total number of American fatal casualties in both Iraq and Afghanistan as of the 5th of June this year is 6,026 since the beginning of both wars. Whenever we read or hear about casualties in battlefields, our hearts are saddened and sunken into kind of sadness and despair. If we think about all the civilian casualties, I think we become sick. However, we have not thought about the silent casualties in their own mothers' wombs, and we do not care about them. In fact, abortion is free in this country if abortion is made in NHS hospitals. It's free, and whatever the money you are paying for your tax money is funding those free services to abort those babies. So free of charge. And of course, in private hospitals, those people who want to abort their babies must pay some fees. However, in public hospitals, abortion is free, and your tax money is supporting that very effort to kill the babies. Well, let me give you the figure again. Last year alone, 189,574 babies have lost their chances to live in the name of choice or women's rights. Someone estimates that every year, approximately 42 million babies are being aborted in the world. Daniel Martin reported for the Daily Mail on the 6th of May, year 2008, that Britain is becoming the abortion capital of the world by quoting a Tory MP, Nadine Dorries. There are 18.3 abortions per every 1,000 women aged between 15 and 44. Is abortion issue relevant to Christian faith today? Yes, we need to consider it as we study the Sixth Commandment. The Sixth Commandment is about life taken from a person an abortion issue is in the very center of this commandment, the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. And also there are a few more areas we need to consider. Let me give you an example. If you read the headline news from the Reuters is saying, this was reported on the April 29 this year, then the headline says this: a U.S. appeals court ruled that the Obama administration could continue using federal money to fund human embryonic stem cell research, a possible avenue toward new treatments for many medical conditions. So in other words, in the U.S., the government, the tax money is going to be spent to fund human embryonic stem cell research. In other words, those human embryos will be destroyed for experimental purposes, and they will be destroyed. And listen to James Meek's report on the 28th of February, year 2002, for the Guardian newspapers. And the article says this, in quote, "The boost in funding follows an announcement yesterday by the House of Lords Science and Technology Committee that stem cell research on embryos will be allowed in Britain. In another boost to stem cell research yesterday, Human Fertilization and Embryology Authority, HFEA, was meeting to decide on the first two applications to carry out non-fertility-related experiments on stem cells derived from surplus human embryos donated by IVF patients." So some of those already fertilized eggs, and so embryos there, and they are not going to be implanted into the bodies of women, and as a result, they are just spares. And what are we going to do? Well, they are going to be donated for experiments, for science research purposes, and so on. So those embryos will be destroyed. The four main stem cell research centers are Edinburgh, Cambridge, Sheffield, and King's College in London. King's College, London, end of quote. So in other words, those human embryos are destroyed, and our tax money is given to fund such an effort. In response to such endorsement of allowing the public funding to be used for embryonic research, anti-abortionists will say, all stages of life are stages of the same being. Each of us was once a human embryo. Each of us is just a human embryo that has grown up. And we have been alive the whole time we have been growing and developing, that is, since fertilization. If one of us had been killed at any time before we were born, a human life would have been lost. So abortion and lethal research in embryos are equally bad. Then so-called all stem cell research works using human embryos are related to the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. It also shows that the Lord's commandment is deeply related to us every day, to us. So let us look at the first point, from legal point of view. Is unborn child a human? That is a very significant and very important question. Is he a human? If the embryos are human beings, then destroying them must be counted as murderous acts. If they are not human beings, then I guess they are a little bit of tissues. So it is a very important matter. Is unborn child a human? Legal point of view. It is very important for us to begin with the legal aspect of it. It is because people in the world are judging the matters only by legal standards and legal stipulations. So as long as something is legal, it must be good. But being legal does not necessarily mean that it is moral and ethical. In other words, people say that as long as abortion is legal, they think that it must be ethical and moral, but that is not true. It is not too hard to find the following explanation from pro-abortion information materials. In quote, abortion is legal in the United Kingdom up to the 24th week of pregnancy. However, if there is a substantial risk to the women's life or there are fetal abnormalities, there is no time limit. In other words, up to 24th week of pregnancy, if a woman decides not to have the babies, then they can be terminated. They can be aborted with the government funding. And however, even though the baby is beyond the 24 weeks time period, but if there is any substantial risk to the women's life, then those babies can be aborted. It is quite a subjective interpretation. It requires very subjective interpretation. Substantial risk to the woman's life. What does it mean? If a woman says, psychologically, I cannot handle the baby. And mentally speaking, it is too much depressing and I cannot handle it. It is a very dangerous act for me to carry this pregnancy. Then that woman is going to be allowed to abort the child. So, substantial risk to the human life, that terminology, that phrase itself depends on the interpretations of individuals and how you are going to interpret it. So virtually this particular legal regulation does allow women to have free abortions. There is a law that protects the women from being prosecuted for their abortions. Instead, the law provides their legal rights to abort their babies. So, from legal point of view, women have rights to abort their babies. Having said it, let me give you a few examples to illustrate the importance of our deeper thinking about legal implications attached to abortion. A few years ago, I read a book, Catalyst, written by Madonna King. I found a story from the book that I want to share with you this evening. Ben Allen was driving his Toyota Corolla through Sydney's peak hour traffic. Right next to him, there was his 7 months pregnant fiancée, Renee Shields. Ben picked her up from the place where she worked as a pattern maker, and they were going home. While Ben was driving, he was a bit nervous as he saw a utility car behind him increasing the speed toward him. So he changed the lane from the right side to the left to give away to that car. Then suddenly there was a jolt and the searing sound of metal as the near side of the utility car hit rear offside of Ben's Corolla. Though Ben tried to control the car, he could not stop the car. There was a sound of screeching tires. The smell of rubber was everywhere. The passenger side of the Corolla slammed onto a telegraph pole. Then there was silence. It was 5:30 p.m. on Wednesday, 28th of November, year 2001. The reckless driver was Michael Harrigan, who was in bad mood in that evening and had a cup of beer. He did not stop the car even after the accident, and he just went away. And Renee was panicking and could not breathe well. She had punctured lungs, the fractures, and dislocations. Her uterus had ruptured, forcing her unborn child into the abnormal cavity where he had died. Doctors had to work on this unconscious young girl in the hospital bed, and later on she woke up almost 2 days later. Then she found that she lost her baby. She wanted to know why that driver did such a cruel thing to her and her baby. At the same time, when a police officer visited her, she had to understand why the man could not be charged with the manslaughter of her unborn child. Later, she had to register her baby, Byron's birth, and to bury him. She could not understand why the man who caused the death of her unborn child could not be charged for his death. Why is this man not accountable for what he has done to my baby? The police officer told her that it was because the unborn baby was not a person. Can you see the significant implication in our question, is unborn child a person? So, Byron was born, was her son, but she was told that he was not a person. But the baby was aborted and because of this, and he was taken out and he was to be buried. In order to bury the child, the baby's name had to be registered. So his name was registered as a person, and as a person he was buried, but because he was dead, he was killed by car accident while he was in mother's womb, he was not a person. He was not a human. Almost the same kind of crime was committed against Kylie Flick in October year 2003. Her partner inflicted grievous bodily harm with intent to Kylie, and she was injured, and the unborn baby died. Again, the district court granted a permanent stay on the charge on the ground that injury to the unborn child could not be recognized in the court. Because of these notorious cases, finally, the Australian government acted, and in December year 2004, the government announced that it would change the definition of grievous bodily harm in the Criminal Act to include the loss of a baby to a pregnant woman. So, if a child, unborn child, is going to be killed by certain reckless acts and reckless offenses and so on, then the killer is going to be charged and the baby is going to be recognized as a person. However, this new law deliberately focuses on the mother, not the child being carried. The whole point of these episodes is on whether unborn babies are humans or not. And why, if the court recognizes the humanness of that unborn child killed by the accidents or violent acts, why the same court cannot recognize those unborn babies in mothers' wombs who are about to be aborted? There is a fallacy of human reasoning in our court system. For example, if an aborted child was somehow born, aborted child, so here is a person, the mother, she does not want to carry the pregnancy and she wants to abort the child. And so just in case, even though procedures were taken and so on, but somehow if the child was born alive, should he live or should he be killed? Does doctors and nurses must leave him alone so that eventually the child will die? Well, these days, you know, there are so much techniques developed for abortions. And so there is no chance, I think, for aborted children to be born alive. I'm not sure whether there is a case these days and so on. But however, it happened in early part of 1970s in America. A baby was born. He was supposed to be aborted, but he was born alive. So what happened to this child, aborted, supposedly aborted child, but born alive? What happened to the child? The child was left there to die. And the nurse could not bury, so she took the case, the doctor, to the court with a charge of murder. And the doctor's defense was quite excellent. And he said, that boy, that child was supposed to be dead. And there was the mother's wish. And he should have been dead in mother's womb, but somehow he came out alive. And so I left him alone, so he died. And I am not guilty of any sin, any offense. I have never violated any law. And so I was quite curious about the particular case, and I followed the case, and eventually the doctor was exonerated. He was freed from any sort of charges against him. That is real dilemma. Legally, women had a right to abort the child. An abortion process was done. But somehow this child resisted all those things and he was born alive. But from legal point of view, the baby should have been dead inside of mother's womb and so on. Well, if we are upset with these stories, then what is our view of abortion? Removal of unborn babies from mother's womb. I must say that we cannot rely on the law to determine the ethicality or morality of abortion. I simply mean that the law in this matter is not reliable. Let me share some of the relevant and categorized issues from legal point of view some more. According to the laws of this country, UK, unborn child has no legal personality. Here I cannot but quote from a case known to us as Peyton versus Trustees of BPAS, done in 1978. The question behind this case was whether men should have rights in abortion. So when their spouses are pregnant and they want to remove the children and so on. So here is the case, in quote. William Peyton, a steel worker living in Liverpool, failed in his attempt to prevent his estranged wife, Joanne, having an abortion. The judge, Sir George Baker, president of the family division of the court, ruled that the claim for an injunction to prevent the abortion is completely misconceived and must be dismissed. Peyton also failed in his attempt to gain a ruling in his favor before the European Court of Human Rights, which denied his application for a hearing, end of quote. There are some more subsequent cases in which fathers are told not to have any legal right to say about their unborn babies. The unborn babies are not recognized as having any legal personality. Therefore, they can be, C-A-N, be removed. However, in the civil law, here is discrepancy, here is the fallacy of all these legal understanding of abortion. So, here, in this country, there is no legal protection for unborn babies, so women are free to abort their babies. However, in the civil law, they are recognized, unborn babies are recognized as persons. That is quite interesting. For example, if a gift is given to a particular group of children living on a particular date, this gift must be also given to a child in the womb at that date, but later born alive within that group. So gift is given today, and a baby is unborn inside the mother's womb, and legally speaking, when this baby is born, gift must be given to that baby. That means that the baby is being recognized as a person. If a child is born handicapped and harmed because of any negligence while the baby, he was inside of the mother's womb, do you know that he's allowed to take the doctors to the court for damages done inside of mother's womb, whatever? But if the case is related to the case cases of abortion, it becomes legal to remove the fetus from the mother's womb. There is discrepancy in the legal interpretation of unborn babies, whether they are persons or not. Unfortunately, they do not have any rights to live as far as abortion case is concerned. The audacity of abortion groups went on to advertise their services. So the BBC reported on May 20, year 2010, that the 30-second film to be shown on Channel 4 will first air at 22:10 BST on 24th of May and run until the end of June. So abortion services being even broadcasted on TV. One of the major campaigners for abortion services is Mary Stopes, or Stopes Clinics. It says that it will raise awareness of sexual health. It is very obvious that the sexual health it talks about is not the same as we are talking about. It talks about unplanned pregnancy and abortion services. So we have seen the issues from legal point of view, whether unborn child is a person. Then definition of abortion we need to look at. First, in order to discuss about abortion, we need to know of its meaning. Abortion is this, in quote, premature expulsion of the fetus from the womb, either done by operation or by medication. So by operation or medication, end of quote. The BPAS, British Pregnancy Advisory Service, BPAS, defines abortion as following, in quote, An abortion is when the pregnancy is ended so that it does not result in the birth of a child. Sometimes this is called termination of pregnancy. End of quote. Oxford Shorter English Dictionary defines abortion as, in quote, the act of giving premature birth with loss of the fetus in the period before a live birth is possible. The procuring of induced termination of pregnancy to destroy the fetus, end of quote. There are few characteristics of abortion according to these definitions, and these are the some of those characteristics. Number one, the aborted fetuses were living before the medical procedures. So before those extra forces given to those fetuses, actually they were living. Number two, abortion is a purposeful act to terminate the pregnancy. It is not a natural event, but it was done by force, intentionally and purposefully. I want to stress on the part of purpose or intention. Number three, the result of abortion is the destruction of the living fetuses. Destruction of living fetuses. And number four, abortion is a premature expulsion of the fetuses from the womb. Number five, we must know that it is different from miscarriage. The reason that I want to talk about the difference between abortion and miscarriage is because oftentimes pro-abortion people are trying to put the miscarriage into the category of abortion, so as if there is no problem at all. The medical dictionary defines miscarriage as following. In quote, miscarriage is the loss of an embryo or fetus before the 20th week of pregnancy. Most miscarriages occur during the first 14 weeks of pregnancy. The medical term for miscarriage is spontaneous abortion. So, they want to use the word abortion, spontaneous abortion. So, ordinary people, when they read such a definition, they feel that, you know, abortion must be not too bad, and miscarriage is a kind of abortion. The wrong impression is given. I hope that you can see a difference between miscarriage and abortion we are talking about. Though the unborn may be aborted by both miscarriages and abortions, the term abortion is more commonly used as a synonym for induced abortion or deliberate interruption of pregnancy, as opposed to miscarriage, which connotes a spontaneous or natural loss of the fetus. So, miscarriage is a natural loss of the fetus, while abortion is purposefully, artificially, forcefully done loss of the fetus. So in other words, abortion is a premeditated act, while miscarriage is a natural loss of the fetus. So abortion is premeditated act. Second, at this point, I think I'd better deal with one particular passage of the scriptures. I give you the verse from various translations, but I want you to turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 21, verses 22 to 24. Exodus chapter 21, verses 22 to 24. Exodus 21, 22 to 24. Let's read those verses together, shall we? If men strive and hurt a woman with a child, part from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, Amen. Well, I'm going to read from various translations, and you may just want to follow while you're reading King James Bible. ESV translation says this: when men strive together and hit a pregnant woman so that her children come out, but there is no harm, the one who hit her shall surely be fined, as the woman's husband shall impose on him, and he shall pay as the judge is determined. But if there is harm, then you shall pay life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. And NAS Bible says this. See if there is any difference. And if men struggle with each other and strike a woman with a child so that she has a miscarriage, yet there is no further injury, he shall surely be fined as the woman's husband may demand of him, and he shall pay as the judges decide. But if there is any further injury, then he shall appoint as a penalty life for life, eye for eye, and so on. NIV says this: if men who are fighting hit a pregnant woman and she gives birth prematurely, but there is no serious injury, the offender must be fined whatever the woman's husband demands and the court allows, and so on. If we look at all these verses, we may be able to find some interesting points here. The situation is this. Some men are fighting, so they are struggling and they are fighting, and it seems that there is a woman who is pregnant. So while they are struggling, fighting, somehow they hit the pregnant woman. So as a result, harm was made. So her fruit departed from her. So our King James Bible says, her fruit depart from her. ESV says, the children come out. The fruit is, in fact, in Hebrew term, that is found in the plural form. So maybe that signifies that any child, you know, the woman may bear, you know, many children, more than one. So probably the word Hebrew plural word is used to signify to every child who is going to be born through that woman, probably. And so ESV says her children come out. And NAS says she has a miscarriage. And NIV says she gives birth prematurely. And I think I do have problems with the New American Standard Bible here about its use of miscarriage, because the Hebrew term should not be understood within this context as a miscarriage, because miscarriage is a natural loss, while in this case the child was born prematurely, in a sense. He came out. So that term is referring to the child birth. If we read the passage very carefully, I believe that it does not carry a proper meaning to the whole context if we follow the NASB. There is no sense of miscarriage. The statement in verse 22, second half of verse 22, is important. It says, yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. It clearly indicates that a baby came out alive. It is not a miscarriage, but an abortion. And if the baby did not die, even though he was come out, the man who hit the woman must be punished according to the demands from her husbands, and judges determine. Though the life was not lost, the person, the offender, still has to be punished according to the demands from her husband. However, if there is a harm or further injury, as a result, the baby prematurely come out, baby, if the baby dies, then what is the rule that God has given to us here? The rule is the law of retaliation, lex talionis, which means eye for eye, tooth for tooth. So here we go. Pregnant woman is standing right there, and while men are struggling, one of the men hit or kicked the pregnant woman. As a result, the baby was come out. However, that baby had an injury and the baby died. Then for the death of the baby, this offender's life must be taken away. The law of retaliation was supposed to be applied. What does it tell you? Well, in this dramatic way, I think the Lord defends the value of the personhood of the baby and his rights for life. If the baby died because of that incident, then the person who caused him to die must lose his life. So this person's life had to be paid for this baby's life inside of the mother's womb. Such teaching brings charges against all the human laws that have disregarded the rights of the unborn babies. And let me look at the definitions of abortion from the past. How people saw abortion, by which we'll be able to see that people began to have different views because of the changes of their philosophical notions of human life, how to define human beings. In 1859, the official definition of abortion by the American Medical Association, AMA, was this, in quote, "The slaughter of countless children, no mere misdemeanor, the wanton and murderous destruction of the mother's child, unwarrantable destruction of human life." That was the American Medical Association's declaration, definition of abortion. And in 1871, AMA added a few more words to it, that abortion is, in quote, "the work of destruction, the wholesale destruction of unborn infants. It is a foul, unprovoked murder," end of quote. Notice the candid, non-euphemistic portrayal of the act of abortion. In 1871, here's how the American Medical Association described the physicians who stooped to perform abortions. They are, in quote, "men who cling to a noble profession only to dishonor it. False brethren, educated assassins, these modern herods, these men who, with corrupt hearts and blood-stained hands, destroy what they cannot reinstate. They destroy the fairest fabric that God has ever created under the cloak of medical professionals. They are monsters," end of quote. That's the Medical Association's view of abortion doctors. The AMA went on to say that, in quote, "the members of the profession should shrink with horror from all social intercourse with them," those abortion doctors, "professionally or otherwise. These men should be marked as Cain was marked. They should be made the outcasts of society. It becomes the duty of every physician in the United States to resort to every honorable and legal means in his power to crush out from among us this pest of society." By 1967, however, this prestigious association of medical doctors had changed their tune, unfortunately. The definition changed to reflect the ungodly drift of our country away, this country away from biblical standards in social ethics. So the AMA, American Medical Association, in the late 1960s, called abortionists, in quote, "conscientious practitioners performing therapeutic abortions for reasons other than those posing as a threat to the life of the mother, equally conscientious physicians who believe that all women should be masters of their own reproductive destinies, and that the interruption of an unwanted pregnancy, no matter what the circumstances, should be solely an individual matter between the patient and her doctor," end of quote. So here, the medical associations changed the position, even does not say that only when there is the threat to the mother's life, abortion may be allowed. It says, no matter what circumstances, it's the right that mothers have. So they decide if they want to abort, kill, destroy their fetuses, their babies, and so on. It's up to them. The AMA in 1967 also defined abortion as, in quote, the interruption of an unwanted pregnancy, end of quote. Unwanted. So here, human life is being dealt with pragmatically. Yes, I'm pregnant, but pragmatically, it is very inconvenient for me. There will be a lot of burdens to carry this pregnancy, and I have to give a birth to this child, and I have to raise the child. Maybe, you know, husband has left or partner has left, and I have to take care of all these financial expenses and so on. This is too much burden. I do not want the child. Then I can abort the child. Pragmatic utilitarian philosophy has taken over the minds of the people. If it is inconvenient, the babies can be removed. Today, American Medical Association once called the murderous and unwanted destruction of human life is now called a, in quote, cleanup procedure. Evacuation, emptying, or removal, end of quote. When doctors call the fetus, in quote, a human life, now the unborn child is, in quote, non-person, a subhuman. Even some abortionists are calling aborted unborn child, unborn babies, as a parasite. A mess, some people call unborn children, aborted unborn children, as a trash, waste, and garbage. Oh. The human life and value has not been changed, but what has been changed is human philosophy. You know, in Nazi Germany, we know that 6 million Jews were exterminated because they were considered to be subhuman expendables. The Nazis rationalized their slaughter by denying the Jews' humanness and personhood. Dr. Augustus Hurt, Nazi Germany, described a Jew as, in quote, a repulsive yet characteristic subhuman, end of quote. Adolf Hitler in 1923 said, in quote, the Jews are undoubtedly a race, but they are not human, end of quote. Dr. Augustus Hurt from Nazi Germany again said in 1944, the prisoners here are animals, nothing more, end of quote. In many Western countries, it is common to describe the unborn child as subhuman expendable. Maybe the most telling comparison is this. Adolf Hitler in Mein Kampf, published in 1925, labeled the Jews as, in quote, a parasite in the body of other peoples, end of quote. And in 1973, a Boston feminist group called the unborn baby, in quote, a parasite within the mother's body, end of quote. How do you feel about abortion? Sorry to say, you know, I have not gone very far today as far as biblical studies are concerned. However, at least we have been able to see the relevance of the Sixth Commandment to us living in the 21st century. We also notice that abortion we are talking about is different from miscarriages most people think about. Miscarriage is a natural act, natural loss. However, abortion is premeditated destruction of unborn babies. Abortion is an intentional and premeditated act of terminating pregnancies. We may include any project using human embryos and destroying them in this category of abortion and against the Sixth Commandment. So we will continue to dwell on this subject. And I think we must be informed and educated about this issue. So if you have the right to vote, You know, think about all these matters and choose the right people. Otherwise, your hard-working money, when you paid to the government in the form of tax, your tax money is sponsoring funding to destroy unborn babies somewhere. And ladies are coming in, abort their babies, and people are saying that it's free of charge service. How sad that is. Last year alone, 190,000 babies were aborted in that way. If we count all those aborted babies in the world, how many babies we are losing every day? So let us think about the value of life, and we'll continue on this topic next week. Let us look to the Lord in prayer.